It's The Record on KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information on Twitter at KUOW. How did you decide to have kids or not to have kids? You can answer that question in just a moment if you'll call us now at 206-543-5869. That's 543-KUOW. My next guest asked more than 100 women about motherhood and womanhood, and she's here now, Seattle poet and artist Natasha Marin. Welcome. Nice to see you.
Thanks for having me.
The project's called Women Centered. Why did you do this?
Well, I really do believe that women and most human beings, regardless of what gender you were assigned at birth, really appreciate when people listen to them like they have something important to share. And this is true for women. So I just started asking women questions like, what does it feel like to be engendered as this thing that you may or may not relate to? How do you feel about birth control? Have you had access to it? Do you have preferences? What have your stories been? And I was blown away by the, it's like we're living Wikipedias, each one of us. We know so much about our bodies and what works for us and the nuances of our different circumstances. No regrets. There's work that you do that no one appreciates and you don't care because it's still good work. That was the women-centered project for me.
On the topic of motherhood, you have two children yourself, and you have said that children was just what I was supposed to do. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of expectations that go along with gender. If you're assigned female at birth, you're instantly not supposed to see yourself as all of the things. And that is, it's a real burden. It's a real burden on all of us. And then at the same time, you're supposed to fulfill this idea that really is a construct. And that often involves getting married and having children. And it's so part of our everyday life that we kind of don't even see or recognize it as what it is, which is patriarchy, taking that big piece of chicken for millennia.
Patriarchy. Let's talk about that. Also with us is Seattle poet and curator Imani Sims. Welcome, Imani.
Thanks. Hi, Bill.
When we asked you whether you wanted kids, your response was hell no.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you feel that strongly?
I feel like me having children is me giving up my body to an alien. And I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to give my life and the dream that I have for myself over to another little being, as wonderful and as cute as they are. I'm a little too selfish for children, honestly.
Uh-huh. Well, that's honest. And we just heard from Natasha about the patriarchy, though. Did you feel that? Did you feel some kind of pressure or expectation?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I grew up in a Christian black family, so I didn't necessarily have a choice other than to get married and have children. And I think I turned maybe 25, and I was like, you know what? I don't want to fulfill this dream for this system, for this family, for anyone, so no.
How did you feel the pressure if you did?
I think it comes in little small ways, like me being
tiny bundles of joy.
Yes, tiny bundles of pressure. I mean, I think my family structure, everyone is a matriarch in my family, so without children, you don't really become a matriarch because you've got to have some sort of little people following you around in order to have power in my family. I also feel like most of the people I went to school with now have 1, 2, 7 children. My brother has 5. Yeah.
But are we talking about a patriarchy or a matriarchy?
Oh, it's the pressure from the patriarchy. Like, African-American families are forced to be a matriarchy because traditionally black men are killed anyway. And so I think because of the system, the patriarchal system in which we function, we have to form a matriarchy.
I'm talking with poet Imani Sims, artist Natasha Marin, and we're talking about how you decide whether or not to become parents, if it seems like even an option to make a conscious decision. I'd like to talk to you about that, too. How did you decide? And if you have kids, what kind of conversation are you having with them about having their own children? Give us a call, 206-543-5869. 206-543-5869 with your story. That's 206-543-5869. Patty is in Edmonds. Welcome, Patty. What's your womanhood, motherhood story?
Well, when I was in my early 20s, I was married and got pregnant, not planned, and my husband was killed in a car accident. And then when my son was born, he had a heart problem, and he died when he was 6 months old, and that was that.
Jeez, I'm sorry, Patty.
Later, I remarried, and we came out here to the Northwest, bought a home so that we could have kids big enough to have a nanny live with us, maybe. And my husband started his career at Children's, and I started my career. And one day, I'm sewing curtains, and I break down and cry, like, I don't want to have kids. And I had to talk with my husband, and he was relieved because he worked with sick kids all the time. And I have not regretted that decision at all.
So you didn't think that was an option, and then you were good with it, and your husband was good with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I don't know if I didn't think it wasn't an option. I just thought it was, that's kind of what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's as Natasha said. Patty, thank you for your story. And Natasha, you have said it wasn't until you had your second child that you realized, I don't have to do this.
Yes.
How did that work?
The timing was perfect. You know, I had two kids right about the time I realized I don't have to actually fulfill this imaginary goalpost that people hold up for many women.
What led to that realization?
I think it was my network, the people I'm linked to in community, just being close to examples of women happily living their lives and men who are partnered, not fulfilling this, like, get married, have kids, partner up, have kids expectation, and seeing people happy with their student loans paid off, Facebooking their vacations to Fiji.
Oh, Facebook.
Yeah, it was like, wow, I would have so much money and freedom.
So yeah. Does that mean you regret having kids? That's a tough phrase to say.
No.
Can be.
As I told your colleague, Matt, when he prepped me for this, I will not be going on record saying that I regret having children. You can do that to, you know, your kids if you're out there, if you want to do that. But I'm trying to mess up my kids in new and innovative ways.
I see.
And no, they're really exciting, interesting people. They hold me to a very high standard. And because they're in my life, because I made a decision, albeit maybe unwittingly or without complete information, to sort of sponsor them in this world, I certainly am happy to know them. I'm happy to have this opportunity to try to guide and protect them in the world. But I do think for new moms, folks who are currently pregnant, and for people thinking about having a baby, especially if you're a person of color, woman of color, what's happening right now, it has got to get you thinking, like, do I want to bring a little innocent person into this world? Like, is that an ethical choice for me?
Mm. I don't want to assume I know what you're talking about. What is it about the world today?
What is it about the world today with Bill Radke?
My new podcast.
I think specifically for those of us in Seattle, the recent murder of Charlena Lyles has reminded us that humanity is not doled out equally, that for many of us, we are still in an ongoing battle to prove that we are human and should be treated that way.
Imani is nodding.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think that is reason number 9,909,000,000. Why I refuse to bring another brown body into the world. The state of emergency around blackness right now is difficult, and it is terrifying. And I can't bring myself to do that to a living being.
Let's take a phone call on that note from Susan in Kirkland. Susan, you're thinking about whether there really is so much stigma around not having kids.
Oh, yeah. There actually, from what I was thinking and just listening to your guest, it seems to be lessening. I've been with my partner for 20 years, and we've been married for 10. And as I was mentioning before, one of the things that drew us to each other is that we were both wanting to be voluntarily childless. And, you know, 20 years ago, that might have seemed, you know, put your pejorative on it, selfish, clueless, arrogant, you know, whatever. Nowadays, when I look at, you know, overpopulation statistics, about the state of the economy, I think I'm not arrogant enough to assume that a child of mine would make everything immediately better.
Not arrogant enough. Susan in Kirkland, thanks for your call. We're taking your call at 543-KOW, and we're talking about the decisions we make or don't realize we can make around motherhood. We're talking with Seattle poet and artist Natasha Marin. We're talking with Seattle poet and curator Imani Sims. I feel it's a good time to inject from our Facebook page Jenna, who writes, "I simply always wanted kids. I can't imagine life without them. I was an only child and found it very lonely. So I knew I wanted more than one. I've always told my kids it's completely up to them. I want them to view it as a joy, not a burden." Mm. And I was picturing the little, you know, it's not my place to say, of course, but the little brown body, Imani, that you talked about not bringing into the world. You know, I'm a father of three, and I was picturing maybe what Jenna was, is a beautiful little, you know, brown body, mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're all beautiful brown bodies just once we get here. Despite that, it can be quite dangerous and quite a fight for survival. Mm-hmm. I think Sandy was kind of touching on privilege indirectly. It is a privilege to know that this is a choice. And I guess that's kind of what I was hinting to when I said that it wasn't until much later in my life when my community had changed and been sort of curated by me. So I had people around me, I'd been exposed to this idea enough to normalize it, that I had anything to push back on sort of the patriarchal norm of get married and have kids. And so I think in Sandy's case, like, she had the privilege of being surrounded by people enough to normalize this on her own as an adult. And she and her partner had both agreed that this is what's good for them. And I'm certainly not trying to tell anybody what to do in either direction. But, you know, I think Imani has a point that if you don't have to, there's a lot of risks associated with doing so. So the Facebook poster, I can't remember her name.
Jenna.
Jenna. Jenna's excited about having children, and if she brings white children into this world, there's really not a whole lot to worry about other than the usual stuff, you know?
Yeah. And then I should also share a tweet from Doug. Doug tweets, because we're talking about how did you decide whether or not to have kids, so Doug's tweet was, "It just happened."
Doug is a truth teller.
Doug is a truth teller.
Doug knows the way. Doug knows the truth.
That's my other podcast hosted by Doug. It's called Doug Knows the Way. Yeah. I'm just the producer.
It's true. I mean, don't you think for most people, like most people in this room, we probably just got here. I think it's not necessarily like people sit down and plan it out. I mean, I know there's people who do, but I think for the vast majority of us on this planet, it was like, surprise.
Hey, I'm pretty sure I just got here. Yeah. Yeah. So I've been told. That was honest. I understand, Natasha, you've been having conversation with your kids, especially your daughter, about that she doesn't have to have kids if she doesn't want to. What's that conversation like?
Well, we've moved on from you do not have to get married and have kids to me sort of actively campaigning for her to be open to alternative relationships, aka please grow up and be a happy lesbian, property owning, happy lesbian, and unbothered. happy lesbian, because, you know, the more interaction you have with the patriarchy, aka men, the more bothered you become. So, you know, listen to your mother, child, and save yourself the bother. That's why I did it. You know, I did it so that you don't have to.
Imani, I have to know why you're laughing.
Oh, that. Because I ride the rainbow flag straight on to unicorn land. I believe in the power of pussy, and
you just said that
wonderful.
On the radio.
I mean,
you could trademark that now. The Supreme Court just
yes!
decided that was okay.
Oh, thank you, Bill. I appreciate
you're welcome.
The opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love my friends.
Is there anything you want to say, since you brought up the patriarchy and men a couple of times? Is there anything you want to say to me and Doug, my co-host, that the about the male blind spot, male pattern blind spot when it comes to motherhood? I'll take it in.
Oh, well, the good thing about talking to all these women and getting their life stories for Woman Centered, and if folks are interested in reading these, they can find them at womancentered.info, is that you really don't know what other women know until you talk to them. And for eons, men have been very suspicious of women gathering in groups. I mean, if they didn't just put us there in a group, if we are gathering on our own accord, it's usually highly suspicious. Like, what are they up to? So I think that men could really encourage, like, especially if you're a father, you can encourage your daughter to seek out older women who may not be her mother or family members to talk to them about their experiences. You know, there's a lot of nuances. And if you don't know, say, birth control exists because you've got your hangups and you haven't wanted to talk to your kids about sex or how they got to this place, that's when your community can come in handy. That's when it's really good to have some friends who are not like you, who are living life differently than you are, to give your kids options, to give them ideas that hadn't occurred to them because maybe they hadn't occurred to you. We're all we are of resources. Our community is a resource to us. And I think it's really important to hold that in mind right now.
We love to give you ideas that hadn't occurred to you. Natasha Marin's getting at some of this at the project is Women Centered. And how can our listeners find that?
Womancentered.info. So, yeah.
Okay. Seattle-based artist, poet, mother of two, sponsor of two. I love the word sponsor that you used.
Sponsoring them.
And the Center for Centering White Women, right?
Yes. So as we discuss like difficult things this week and in upcoming months, you may find folks who want to derail difficult racial-based conversations by centering themselves and their emotions. And there is a helpful resource you can refer them to, the Center for Centering White Women mm-hmm. on Facebook.
Imani Sims, Seattle artist, curator, mother to nobody. Plans to keep it that way.
Oh, yes.
Seattle Art Museum on July 19th.
Yes. Kitchen Sessions is going up in partnership with Seattle Art Museum and Central District Forum for Arts and Ideas. And five women of color artists are going to respond to the Kasama exhibit that opens July 6th.
Let's keep this conversation going. Tweet us. That's at KUOW. Email us, record@KUOW.org. Post on KUOW's Facebook page. Imani and Natasha, great to talk with you today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
KUOW's The Record, coming back in a moment.